Welcome into the Fan pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan for the next hour. We're ahead of a big game on the network. Colorado in town to face the Maple Leafs. That's 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. We'll talk to John Mitchell of Altitude Sports. Yep.
And former teammate
of our in-studio guest to kick it off, Colby Armstrong.
Oh, Johnny Mitchell.
Yeah, we got a reaction out of you. I was going to save that for the end.
Oh, sorry.
You have a John Mitchell story? You got a John Mitchell anecdote we could use?
Is he a cool guy? We should keep him on.
Yeah, I liked him. Okay. I liked him. He was a great teammate. He was a good teammate. I felt during my time as a Leaf, too, I felt like underutilized as well, which he kind of proved later on when he got an opportunity in Colorado. He was a pretty significant player for them, but great guy. Okay. Great guy.
We will keep him booked for 6 days.
Yeah, tell him I said hi.
We will. Well, Colby joins us in studio. That's a nice treat to get you here, of course. So we were talking a little bit off air, Leafs, Avs, like, what does this one mean to the Leafs? Because it's a big size it them up kind of opportunity to this test, but it's kind of a scary one, too.
Well, the last time they played, when was it, like 3 weeks ago? It was a little bit of a beatdown by the Avs.
A little bit.
And, you know, they did have, you know, some new faces in their lineup that have been more acclimated to this team. I did the game against Dallas that Colorado had over the weekend on Sunday, and they're from their lineup's from another planet. So, to say this is like a measuring stick game, I think would be fair to see how you match up against a team like that, that's built like that, that went and got all their guys in the right spots like Colorado has.
You ever seen a team like change its stripes the way Colorado has?
No.
Like they were so problematically thin up front to start the year. It was like Nathan MacKinnon carrying the team, I guess, with Cale Makar in tow as well. And all of a sudden they've got like the prototypical four centers that look real deep. They got dangerous players, it seems, on every single line. And, of course, they've got the number one pair of Makar and Toews.
And they got Landeskog skating now, too. Did
Landeskog
you see that?
Landeskog might be coming back.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I guess he would be part of the problem earlier in the season, but they've done an unbelievable job flipping their roster.
Yeah, they have. And I don't think I've ever seen anything like it from goaltenders, like both goaltenders. Like, when does that happen?
It doesn't.
It's been something else to see what they've been able to do there. And I think identifying guys in the right spots and then also like making it all fit and work like financially too, which never really happens. I mean, it was a complete overhaul. 29th team in the league in the faceoffs, and the game I did on Sunday, Nelson wins it in overtime and Makar does the rest. But, you know, they needed help there. They need help down the middle, and Coyle and Drury. You know, you look down their lineup. Now they got Manson, who's banged up, that they don't have to even worry about, like, rushing him back. Like, you got to get back. Like, no. Like, they're good. They got guys. They got Lindgren now, too, added. Feisty, hard-nosed guy. I've never seen – this is, like, olden day, like, trade style, you know? Like, I feel like hockey trades, like, getting actual players like that. I mean, it's crazy. You think back – to like the 90s of like, you know, a four player for four player trade that some of these teams
used to do. Hockey deals. Right?
Hockey deals, but like they went and did like several deals to find these kinds of players.
I thought they were soft selling, and then they grabbed Lindgren, and it's like, oh, okay, there's something else going on here. And then all of a sudden they're adding and completing the roster. It was crazy. It was quite the overhaul, and now they look great.
I want to ask you about the Leafs for a second here, because obviously we talk about them a lot in this market. We cover them on the radio for 590. And there was something that was said a couple of weeks ago when they were being asked about, okay, you know, jockeying for first in the division. And for us, we think that's really important because it's an easier matchup. But I think it was Max Domi who said, like, I don't really care. We don't care about being first. Like, how hard is it to be focused on your individual performance when you do know that if you win the division, you probably get an easier opponent? It's not a Florida or a Tampa. And is that something like a little white lie you tell yourself that you're not too worried about winning the division and you're focused on each singular game?
It is kind of crazy when you're in it, though, like how much you're focused as a player on like process. And, you know, we know that there's lots going on in Leafland, right? We like you guys cover it extensively, but it's like, you know, when you're a team, you've got new coaches, new philosophy, new ideas. What's that look like? What's that going to turn into? You've added new players now at the deadline that are significant guys as well and can help you in certain areas. You know, what's the ramifications of that through the season and trying to find your identity? I think the identity thing is like the big question with the Leafs, right? And I think that's kind of the question that's, you know, from the start of the year with Berube and what this is going to look like and where are these guys going to go and how are they going to manage the big four inside of this kind of idea of how they're going to win when it comes playoff time. And so I think they're still searching for that along with individual play, you know, to a player inside that locker room. So I think there's still a little bit of a work in progress in trying to find, you know, ultimately that finished product of what it'll look like come playoff time.
Yeah, making matters, I guess, more difficult would be the fact that their best player, the guy that you'd pencil in for 50 every season, is not having a 50-goal season, not having a 69-goal season in Austin Matthews, but he has a statement game the other night. But just in general, like when you're top guy and you played with Sidney Crosby, like Kovalchuk, like go down the list, when you're top guy, maybe you always had a top guy who was right and Sid was kind of growing certainly in his career when you guys were teammates. But if your best player in any room isn't playing up to standard, how does that affect everything that goes on?
Or up to like the expectation, like what's the expectation? Like Scotty Lawton's here now and like what's his expectation?
Not to be a fourth line center.
But like I feel like he was kind of like he's already in the doghouse from what I hear. And like, how is that even possible? That kind of blows my mind. Like, what's the expectation you get this guy? The expectation is you get him because of the playoffs. You know, that's the expectation. That's where, you know, his game will be there. He can skate for days. He's happy to be a third or fourth line guy. Yeah, that's hard to find. And a guy that can do a job that he does. And so what's that going to look like come playoff time? That's the ultimate judge factor that I think you can put on some of these guys. As far as like Matthews goes, you know, you look at like from last year's stats to this year and what, you know, his numbers look like, obviously, but what do the team numbers look like too? And where's the significant change and how is that, you know, balancing itself out in a way? You know, they've improved their defense. Their goaltending's much better, much more consistent. And even that was like a question mark, kind of like who's going to be the guy that, to go with the playoffs. A lot of question marks, right?
A lot of question marks.
But if your big dog is a little quieter or a lot quieter than he normally has been, your team's in an okay position. And for him, if I remember, what do you have, 18 multi-goal games last year, and I don't know how many hat tricks, and like he scores in bunches and he goes on runs, 3 goals in his last 2 games. He hasn't had in like a real solid run this year either of like where he likes to go off since like mid-February, I think, to the end of February where he strung a bunch of games together. But like the multi-goal games and like when he gets feeling it and when he can go, we haven't seen it yet. So
it brings
on speculation too a little bit, right? With like injuries and he's had to deal with all of this. So interesting year as it always is being a Toronto Maple Leaf, especially being those star players, like those star guys and like what's going to happen. You got the Marner contract. We've got it all. So
a lot of talk about guys being tired. Like, you know, you got the inside scoop, you know, is everybody tired this year? What's with the tiredness?
Yeah, like, I don't get that.
You're tired because you're driving and
I'm an idiot.
But should that be something we
I've never think heard about? Of this. Like, everyone's tired. We're all tired.
Yeah.
We're all tired. Like, all the players are tired. Players are a little banged up. Mm-hmm. Yes, and ultimately playing through stuff. A lot of guys are. I think what I hear, is Steph Curry tired now?
Yeah, everyone's
and his coach
tired.
Is saying he's tired? Like, okay, like, nobody cares. Like, how are you going to play? How are you going to perform?
Are they getting softer then?
Oh. Yeah.
No answer.
I got 4 kids, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're in this month, 31 days, 15 games at home for like 10 total
days. That's tiring.
And that would be tiring, but you just got to play through it. But like, when you were dealing with that, like, what is, are you just like in a blur?
Like even for example, yeah, like it gets hard and like you just go on autopilot almost, you know, and. I remember like doing some radio when I was first starting, when I moved to Pittsburgh and being able to call and do the pregame radio show and the postgame radio show for the final. And like got to go to like Nashville and San Jose during those back-to-back cup years and seeing these guys on the plane ride and seeing these guys, like I was tired. Like that's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
And never mind the playoffs and the full run through and the season. And like, they dropped a puck and these guys were machines. And so, yeah.
I think that's what worries you if you're a Leaf fan, is that they haven't even tasted what that 2-month grind is. Yeah. They've done it for 10 days, 14 days, I guess, and got through it once after 14 days. And immediately there was this massive letdown. They lose in 5 games to Florida after the one series victory they had. So like they still have to prove that they can do this for more than 2 weeks, let alone 2 months.
Well, I think it's like the process I was talking about, the identity stuff, I think is important to them here down the stretch. And then maybe you get into a moment or the, have the luxury, which we know happened last year, right, with Nylander and the chase for the points and, you know, being able to, the injury, and then being able to, like, rest guys, too. And then you get in a, you know, a spot where maybe the last couple games you're okay. And maybe your team and your game is in a good spot where you're able to do that. So time will tell with that on what happens. But I can't see – I mean, it's fair for us. We can say he looks tired or this player is, you know – playing and looking like he's run down, but I don't think you'd ever hear anyone in that room be like, hey, you know, Craig Berube, can I talk to you? I'm really tired today.
Yeah,
like it's just not gonna happen. I don't think that's gonna happen, not in hockey.
We probably have time for like two more questions. Sure. So if you want to spread out NHL wise, because we got to let Colby walk across the entire studio.
I got to be running, 6:30.
Yeah, so we don't want you to be sweating. I want to ask you about just the Ovi chase, too, because a bit, you know, you've obviously, I know you've interviewed him, you played, like, do you have an Ovi story? Something that sticks out about this guy that just makes him so unique
well,
that you can tell on air?
Like, playing against him and, like, you know, pregame and pre-scouting him and, like, how do you shut him down? Like, no one's been able to really solve it, and you... There's different tricks, and we've tried everything, and I've been on the penalty kill, and it's like...
That's fun.
We put guys, like, on him, and he would still score, like, two goals from a spot, and it doesn't matter. I think seeing him, like, morph into, you know, the leader, the team guy that was kind of big for him to get over and then ultimately win. Playing against him, too, like, there's been times where, you know, he's coming with full head of steam, right-handed shot, can cut to the middle to shoot, and I'd be, like, back-checking down the guts... And meet him right in that spot. And, like, he was shooting mid-shot when I hit him. Like, usually I just blow the guy up, right? It's, like, perfect. Like, he's focused on shooting the puck. I'm, like, sneak attacking, perfect spot. Ovi winded me twice on the exact same thing in two different games.
Solid dude.
He is an absolute truck, and we've seen how he's been through his career with injuries and how he even broke his leg and came back and, like, faster than anyone thought and was skating. And... You know, his longevity right now and his ability to produce and score still at his age and
it's crazy.
Be relatively healthy through his entire career. Like, I think he's probably missed, I mean, the broken leg, like, changed it, but I think he probably missed more games from, like, being suspended and, like, the league.
For not going to All-Star game
than, like, injury, which is, like, wild to watch. But ultimately, super exciting. I mean, as we get down to it here and watching to see now if he can just get it done this year. And then who knows, does he keep going?
Eight more.
Does he keep going?
One more year after this. I don't know. If the first place team, maybe there's a playoff run, he gets the record and goes on a meaningful playoff run. Maybe he just says...
It's had to be a shot of life for him, though, definitely at this 100%. Age. And, like, the state of their team was, like, you know,
I thought
this
was going to be a drag, but now it's, like, exclusively positive vibes with that team.
Oh, yeah. And, like, guys like, Dubois stepping up and you know, the season he's had in rebound, Chychrun's lighting it up. Like, they've got a lot of good stories through their team, and he's obviously the biggest one, but there's so many good stories through that team and just watching him this season.
How important is this summer for the Penguins?
Hey, by the way, they play the Penguins the last game of the season.
Oh, I know. I looked that one. Yeah. My early season bet, I said he'll do it on the final game of
the year.
Do
you actually have that?
Like,
locked in?
Do you have it locked in?
I have it. We said it on the television. You can go back and find it.
Better be
we gotta find
in.
It.
How important is the summer for the Penguins? Like, it's been obviously a bit of a drag this year, but you get Crosby done before the year. You know, you're trying to accomplish something with these last couple years of Cros.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's decisions that've got to be made. There's important decisions that have to be made, and talent that's got to be brought in while at the same time balancing the future.
I think it's a tough job for Kyle Dubas and company and Jason Spezza and, like, what they're going to do. 30 picks in the next 3 years. They have a lot of picks in the first three rounds coming up in this year's draft and even the year after. And obviously trying to restock and rebuild those cupboards. I know Wilkes-Barre's been good this year. A lot of guys are having good years and their team's, you know, poised to go on a little bit of a run possibly down there. That's what I did when I was a Penguins draft pick in the minors. We had tons of guys down there and we had good teams. And we're able to build and grow together, and then eventually coming up with, you know, the likes of Malkin and Crosby.
Sid shows up.
And Staal and all these guys start rolling in, too, to obviously help make it all pop and work. But, And then at the same time, trying to build your team with those big boys in the lineup, mm-hmm. right? And be competitive. It's hard to do when you're, you know, you're kind of getting pulled both to like on the mm-hmm. rope both
the
ways.
The ultimate balancing act.
Yeah. And, you know, Washington's a good story. Washington was able to quickly turn it around, retool and True. Bring in some guys. And, you know, Strome's been a great story there. But, you know, I think that's ultimately this summer. Yeah. That they'll be back to the drawing board at trying to see what their team looks like and how busy he'll be either at the draft or in free agency and trying to find guys as well.
Well, Connor Dewar and Connor Timmins look like they're lighting it up
yeah,
for the
they
Penguins.
Are.
So they should be very happy with what they got from the Leafs.
He brought his little, yeah, he brought his Toronto mustache. He got the little mustache
yeah,
going.
That's very fun. Yeah. 6:15 on the dot. We did it.
Good job.
Thanks so much, Colby, for coming on.
Appreciate
we will
it,
see you in about 30 minutes on Sportsnet.
All right.
So
yep.
appreciate it. That's Colby
there.
Armstrong, everyone. Sportsnet TNT, game notes, et cetera. You'll see him also on our panel in about 20 minutes here on Sportsnet. Okay, so Leafs and Avs. We were talking about it with Colby there. It's our big game on the network. We've also got a doubleheader in hoops, Detroit and Miami, Denver and the Lakers. Those are both on Sportsnet 1. And then the only other NHL game in action tonight, there's only two, which is strange, for Wednesday, is on Sportsnet 360. It's Seattle and Minnesota, 9:30 start.
Yeah, easy to focus your attention on Wednesday night hockey. Big one.
And it makes sense.
Colorado and the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course. Yeah, interested in this Colorado team because – I like if you go through the history and like all the Stanley Cup champions that we've seen before, it's like this build, right? Colby was talking about it. Wilkes-Barre mm-hmm. builds, Sidney Crosby shows up 3-4 years later, you win the Stanley Cup after, you know, losing to Detroit in the previous match. It's generally built that way, but Colorado's threatening to do it a different way this year by going out and overhauling its roster on the fly, building, you know, taking the Rantanen situation, doing the absolute best it can with it. And yeah, retooling on the fly with Nate MacKinnon and Cale Makar. And they look like a really, really formidable team. And as you outlined, certainly a measuring stick for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Yeah, the Avs are 8-0-1 in their last 9. They've outscored their opponents 40-17. So they're red hot right now. And then when they come into town to play the Leafs, they're 6-0-1 in their last 7 games here in Toronto against the Leafs on the road. So not a pretty scenario for the Leafs. And since February 16th, the Avs are first in NHL record, first in goals per game, third in goals against per game, so fourth in goalie save percentage in total, and second best power play in the league. And the Leafs are dogs tonight, I think, for a pretty valid reason. Like, this is you don't see the Leafs as dogs often. But tonight, when the Avs are in town, I think it's a good opportunity to kind of build on their last game. The Leafs, we saw them, they played the Flames just a few days ago, and I thought it was a really good game. But what's more important to me is what do you do the second time around? Because it's easy to have a statement game when you're in a slump, but what's important is what do you do the second time out with your Austin Matthews, who had a bit of a game that was kind of a everybody can shut up about it moment, where we were all talking about, oh, is he injured? Is he weighed down by the captaincy, et cetera? He went out there and he had a really solid, like, vintage Matthews game. So what does he do tonight against a way better opponent, against a team that has really shown that they are a strong Stanley Cup contender? That's what I'm mostly looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of runway left. 1 month until the Stanley Cup playoffs, I believe, today.
That's
so
it.
A lot of these teams are trying to figure out exactly who they are, where they're going to slot in, and what sort of situation is right in front of them. Last night was a good night for the dream of seeing 7 Canadian
teams.
The Canadian dogs hit.
Woo!
Calgary dominates the New York yeah. Rangers, not in the scoreboard per se, but in the run of play, like outshooting them. I think it was like 2-1 in the mm-hmm. game. And then Montreal gets a big win over the Ottawa Senators to make that wild card exclusively Canadian in the Eastern Conference, with Ottawa and Montreal right now. So closer to seeing a lot of Canadian teams in the playoffs. I think for us, that's like the number one storyline down the stretch with 1 month to go. But obviously you got Alexander Ovechkin's chase for the Gretzky record. Is there anything else that is of particular importance over the final 30 days of the regular season?
I think for sure it's where those Canadian teams rank. And I think as of this day, there's 6 of them in. Mm-hmm. And the one that isn't in is now Vancouver. Because didn't Calgary jump over them?
Well, Vancouver won last night too. So.
Oh, so maybe they were...
They were maybe temporarily. But Vancouver got a huge win over Winnipeg.
I
don't know if we single-handedly damaged Connor Hellebuck's heart chances, but last night was not great, given Sean Reynolds' answer to our
That's right.
Question about Connor Hellebuck. And Connor Hellebuck gave up 5 goals last night in the loss to Vancouver. So Calgary might have been there temporarily, but still on the outside looking in after Vancouver got a big 2 points as well.
That's right. Okay, yeah, so it is Calgary, the only ones out. 75 points for the Canucks, 73 for Calgary. So I think for me, it's seeing as many Canadian teams as possible get in. Ovi's goal chase, we're trying to look at, he's playing tomorrow, and he's got, I think it's the Philadelphia Flyers, and I think tomorrow I'll preview my bets. It'll
be a green light
Ovi goal ladder, okay. I think, tomorrow night.
Tortorella can, like, he might make it his mission for that to be the only thing that
Ovi's
doesn't happen.
Starting to run out, not run out of time, but start to think, okay, like, I better get this thing going.
It's not an absolute lock, that's
he's
for sure.
He's been on 8 goals, and it's time to, you know, have a couple multi-goal games. I think the award race is always really interesting. Feels like there's a few for sure up in the air. Like, we were talking about the MVP yesterday, of course, and today we'll touch on it again. But, you know, between Nathan MacKinnon and Leon Draisaitl and Connor Hellebuck, like, can a goaltender win the Hart? Well, Sean Reynolds doesn't think he might or should. But the Calder race is so exciting. I saw a lot of that game the other night with the Sens and the Habs and Lane Hutson. Real deal. You know, I think our producer David Siss, that's his favorite person on earth, and to see Lane Hutson do well, you know, he's very fired up. But it's very fun to watch this Calder race. Dustin Wolf the other night in Toronto, pretty bad showing, but he's only really had 2 bad games, and they were both against the Leafs, so my perspective was skewed because I think he let in 6 on each night.
Yeah, a lot of,
like, but he's great.
A lot of the playoff races for Canadian teams feature that award subplot with Dustin Wolf and Lane Hutson, of course. I guess Quinn Hughes maybe a bit
Draisaitl
on the periphery now. Draisaitl obviously leading the Hart race.
We might get no Leafs really in any award chat this year, right?
No, I don't think there would be anything.
I think Willie might be in the Rocket for a
while.
For
the Jennings thing could have been there with the top, you know, tandem goaltending, but I don't think that's a possibility.
Willie was in the Rocket, like, in the top 3.
Nobody but Draisaitl.
No, but I know. But when you look at, like, on the rankings, but no, it might be no award season for the Maple Leafs this time.
We are still waiting, too, to see Brad Marchand wear Florida Panthers colors for the first time. I think that is an interesting thing down the stretch. Hopefully we see it sooner than later. Miro Heiskanen may be out for the entire regular season, or the rest of the regular season, is a huge deal in the Central Division. There's a lot going on. This has turned into a very interesting NHL season with a lot of races, a lot of meaningful jockeying down the stretch. And yeah, a lot of things related to Canadian teams who are trying to make something happen this year.
Can the Leafs get to the top of the Atlantic to get first overall seed and maybe play another Canadian team? That's what I want the most, I think. If you could grant some wishes, I want to see a Battle of Ontario. I think that must be my number one want.
I keep saying it. Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, I'm not saying that because I think the Leafs are going to win. I think it would be amazing content. We will have the Battle of Ontario here.
We will, but that's, like, my take. You are more invested in the Leafs' success than I am.
You know, I just want to see good hockey, and I think that would be a great first round.
I think it's...
And it would be different than seeing Tampa and Florida.
I want whatever to happen to the Toronto Maple Leafs to be, like, hit you over the head in terms of reality.
But that would hit you over the head,
exactly,
would it not, if you
lost? If you lose to the Senators, it's like, okay, we are actually doubling down on all the things that are expiring at the end of the season, and you can go down the list. Or, you know, do they get through in a meaningful series like that, kind of create that same distance between them and a divisional rival and a provincial rival, and actually springboard to some success so that the story isn't, like, only, like, slightly different than it normally is? I would like to see it be vastly different so that either way there's some finality to what has been spinning the tires now for multiple seasons.
Okay, so we're doing our wish list for 1 month left of the regular season. So Ovi hits his goal record, a good first round opponent that hits the Leafs over the head with some sort of decision making.
Is there not part of you on the Ovi thing that he doesn't get it till the start of
next
year?
No, I kind of want it to be over.
Why is that?
Because then we're going to talk about it all off season. And
will we, though? We're just like, okay, Ovechkin just has to show up.
I would be happy if he got it. Like, just, you're there now. It'd be kind of disappointing to be this hyped up about it and then he doesn't get it.
It would be a little disappointing.
But then the other thing that is annoying about this is if he scores 10 goals in the playoffs, we're all going to be like, well, technically he got it, but he didn't get it, you know?
No, because then we could look at how many goals Gretzky scored in the playoffs.
No, I know, like, but people would have said, well, he just scored. He couldn't have scored that in the regular season. And
sure.
Just do it already.
Okay.
Okay. John Mitchell, former teammate of Colby Armstrong, will join us after the break. We'll get the Avalanche perspective of this game tonight. It's on Sportsnet Colorado, and the Maple Leafs will be on at 7 o'clock. We'll tee it up with John Mitchell on the other side of the break.
diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back on the Fan Pregame here on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, the Fan, Leafs, Avs in about 30 minutes. And we're excited to tee it up with John Mitchell in about 5 minutes. He'll come on, Altitude Sports Analyst, former NHLer, give us the Colorado perspective of it all.
Colby's buddy.
Yeah, well, we got to start with that. Say, like Colby said, we should cancel your hit.
Might have to go through that roster. Any other former Leafs in that time frame doing media?
Sis, get on it. Okay, a couple things we can talk about here in the next 5 minutes. Elliot and co. are down at the GM meetings, and a lot of stuff comes out from this. But the one thing that really stuck with me, because I first of all thought that they had figured this mistake out, but I was incorrect. So obviously next year there's an All-Star game, but there's also an Olympics. And I thought that they would be skipping said All-Star game because of the Olympics. But no, they have already announced it, and the Islanders are hosting it. So they'll be having an All-Star weekend. And then those players will be going to the Olympics basically right away, right afterwards.
Yeah, I remember them saying that, like, right off the bat. Like,
but I thought they would just cancel it.
Like, no, we got to do the All-Star thing before you all get on the same flight and go to Italy together.
So the players will be at the All-Star game because they're going to the Olympics, and most of them would have been the All-Stars anyway voted. Makes sense. So now they
I
have
suppose,
to do it.
But not all of them, right?
Well, now they don't make, do they not do, not every team has to have an All-Star anymore, right?
I believe it starts that way, but if there's injuries, it doesn't have to be that way.
But a lot of the people that will be All-Stars will be going to the Olympics.
I would say like a good majority, but not exclusive.
They will probably be at the All-Star weekend. So let's say you're Austin Matthews. You're going to be on Team USA and you're going to be the All-Star representative for Canada. Same with Mitch Marner. This weekend already kind of lacked a little bit of oomph, and it has been lacking more and more oomph as of lately. And now they have shoehorned it in a way that the players will have to be there and then go to the Olympics. So how do they make this weekend different and fun and not a hockey game, and maybe it's something different that is a good showcase?
Yeah, I mean, being given the All-Star game that immediately precedes, or I guess a year later, the Four Nations face-off is a tough draw for the Islanders, right? Oof. Like, I think if they didn't make this announcement, they might be like, okay, let's just cancel it and
watch the Olympics.
And I feel like in the future it was implied that it'd be like, okay, every other year there'd be an All-Star game, and every other year there would be a international tournament.
That's why I thought there wasn't one.
But I think for this one, for this reason, I don't know, maybe they just promised the Islanders this and it got kind of...
Well, give them 100K and unpromise.
I just don't... 100... this isn't a financial show, that's for sure.
per player.
Per player. Or company that actually wants it to be...
Who's already invested in the weekend. It is for the sponsors, I know that.
Anyway, it's a tough spot to be in because, like... Usually no one cares about the All-Star game unless it's the people that are there, fans, sponsors, etc. But now no one's going to care about it, right? Because it's going to be like, oh, we're just trying to get to the Olympics. It's probably going to be overlapped with actual Olympic competition or the opening ceremonies for the Olympics, given that, yeah, the players aren't going to be there for the whole time. They definitely have to condense this as much as possible to actually waste time with an All-Star game.
It's a waste.
When you're already condensing the
schedule. So we need to think of a creative idea.
It's difficult.
So but we need to make
we're
it
not
interesting.
Fix it.
No, we are.
You have a creative
we're
going to
fix it. We're going to fix it. And I heard
Do you want them to just wave the flags and walk in and do something?
No. So I heard this in a 32 Thoughts episode maybe a month ago.
So it's Elliot's idea.
No. It was
Kyle's idea.
No. It was sourced from listeners.
Okay.
And I wish I had written down the name of said listener that submitted this to 32 Thoughts, but I thought it was a really amazing idea. It was incorporating, well, there's two that I like. One was just doing different things, like make them play pickleball, spike ball.
No, this is not the Pro Bowl.
Whoa. It's more exciting than a game that they won't care about, and then they're not going on the ice. Or have them team up with NBA players and have a joint NBA-NHL All-Star weekend. So if you're the Leafs... You got Mitch Marner and Grady Dick going to...
Before the Olympics.
This is what a listener said. Yell at the listener.
Okay, but you said it was a good idea.
I thought it was a good idea, actually. Well, you haven't come up with nothing. But I think that it would just be different, and no one's watching this game because they're not going to be giving their all on the ice. They're about to go play at the Olympics.
Well, I say scrap the game because there's no way.
No, I agree. No game. Like more fun stuff.
You can do, okay, last All-Star game, we were there. They had the skills competition for $1 million.
Yeah.
And it was, like, other than Nikita Kucherov, there was effort. Connor McDavid put on a show. It was fun. You won some money.
Yeah.
You can do that, and you can do that safely and not jeopardize any Olympic thing.
Sure, so just skills.
So do that. Skills competition, yeah, on the Saturday night. And then just have, like, a pre-Olympic meet-and-greet sort of, like, event thing. No?
Something fun. They need personalities,
dude,
Justin.
You know, like, let them
play.
That.
Let them play slap cup.
We're getting away from the All-Star because they force them to have fun. And they don't know how to have fun with microphones on and cameras rolling. No square peg round hole.
Okay. Maybe our next guest knows how to fix it. John Mitchell, Altitude Sports Analyst, joins us ahead of Leafs, Avs. We just had your buddy Colby in here. We the whole family reunion.
Colby Armstrong. Multiple Colby buddies.
We had Colby Armstrong here, and he said you were a good guy and we should keep you on the show. So we did.
That's awesome. I'd like to hear that.
We appreciate you coming on. Before we get to the Avs and the Maple Leafs, Justin and I were just arguing about this whole All-Star game weekend that's going to be right before the Olympics because they didn't decide to cancel it in time or something. So they're going to have the NHLers that are going to the Olympics basically still have to participate in the All-Star weekend. Is there a way to fix this? Like, what do players really want to do with the All-Star weekend besides, like, go out? Do they want to have fun meet and greets with people? Do they want to play, like, spike ball? What do they want to do?
I think NHL guys would probably like to have some time off.
Well, they can't.
Unfortunately, but I get it. If you're one of the top players, you got to kind of showcase your stuff and your skill and what you have. And I just don't think there's much else that you could really do other than, you know, get the fans involved as much as possible. I think that would certainly help and be fun. The on ice is what it is, right? You're never going to have guys competing against each other, but at the same time, yes, they can show their skill level and some of the creativity that they have. But, you know, I think the NHL did a decent job when they were in Florida a couple years ago. They had some things that they were doing outside, which obviously you can do in Florida because it's nice. So they were smart there for sure.
Nothing wrong with the on-ice recently for the Colorado Avalanche, as I try to segue out of All-Star talk. This roster, from what it is now to what it was to start the year, like, is it almost unrecognizable? Do you look at it and can't believe what it used to be back in September, October? How did this all happen? How did the roster go from dangerously thin to one of the deepest in the league right now?
Well, they had a lot of injuries to start the year, right? And then their goaltending was, you know, subpar. That was a big glaring hole that they had. So that was something that in order to even have a chance at being in the playoffs, that's something that they had to look at right away and fix. And you have to give Chris McFarland a lot of credit for what he was able to do early in the year. I mean, trading one goalie, that's one thing. Being able to trade two goalies in a matter of, you know, less than 2 weeks is that's quite a feat. So again, you have to give a lot of credit to Chris, and then being able to sign Mackenzie Blackwood right after he came here to the Avs, that's another thing, right? So you locked up your number one goalie for 5 years, and then, you know, obviously there was the injuries, there was the Nichushkin, you know, suspension. So you're waiting for those guys to get back. And it seemed like every time somebody came back into the lineup, somebody else was going out with an injury. Mm. Right. So I think within the last 3 weeks, I believe was the first time that the Avs actually had their full lineup, full roster in for the first time this entire year. So, you know, it's nice when you can get healthy.
I know. I was reading about just the amount of players that the Avs have had an NHL high of 47 different players have worn the Avalanche sweater, including an NHL high of 6 different goalies this year. So the revolving door.
It's a long stat sheet.
Imagine being the stat keeper. But that could be a really, like, damning stat. That could be the reason why your team falls apart, why your team doesn't make the playoffs. Like, how much of leadership needed to be able to kind of, like, cohesively bring these guys in and get them on the page and get that going? Like, how much is a testament to the coaches and the guys that wear the letters or a part of that leadership group to have so many bodies so many times through the lineup and still be where they are in the stats this year?
Well, when you have two superstars on your team and Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, and then obviously Mikko Rantanen for a majority of the year until he got traded, those guys will, they'll drive the bus. And when you have guys, again, especially like Nate, I mean, Nate is a whole nother animal when it comes to the way he prepares for games, away from the rink, at the rink, everything. It becomes contagious. And the younger players, and even the, you've heard veteran guys talk about how their game has changed and how they prepare for games has changed because of playing with Nate and what he does. So I think having someone like Nate in there, and that, and then even Kale, I don't think Nate's like the most vocal guy. He certainly leads by example and what he does. And then, you know, you've got other great leaders in there, and McCarr and Taves and Manson. And then they brought EJ back in, which is a great voice, mm-hmm. you know, older veteran guy, leadership in the dressing room. So they've been able to put the pieces together. And, you know, again, just having superstar players on your team, it certainly helps because it pushes the pace of practice. It makes all of these younger guys better and want to push and elevate their game. And then, again, it's a testament to the coaching staff and what Jared Bednar has been able to do. He's a phenomenal coach.
Yeah, it felt like early on the season there was whispers of, is Bednar in trouble, one of the longest-serving coaches in trouble. That conversation is definitely not happening anymore. If it was lemons because of the Rantanen situation, it's lemonade now because Marty Natchez has been a great fit. Why has Natchez been such a great fit for the Avalanche?
Well, Marty Natchez, he's a special player. And, you know, Leafs faithful, you're going to get a good dose of him tonight because he's a special player, and he is an offensive talent. His ability to maneuver and weave in and out of players in the neutral zone and then in the offensive zone, he is a very, very elusive player when he gets out there. And he possesses the ability to score goals. He possesses the ability to pass pucks. He's got great vision. He's found some pretty instant chemistry with Nathan MacKinnon. So I think he is a very special player, and what a great pickup to snag him from Carolina, and then Carolina really, really getting not much in return at the end of the day. I know they got some first round picks and they got a young player in Stankoven from Dallas, but you know, good on the Avs to snipe Natchez when they could.
Yeah, Natchez is 18 points in 19 games with the Avs. Well, not bad. Not a bad debut for him. We're talking to John Mitchell, former NHLer. This is kind of like the John Mitchell Bowl, actually. You know, you played for both the Leafs and the Avs. This must be a fun one. I don't know. I'm not going to ask who you're cheering for, but we know you're from Oakville, so I can maybe guess a little blue and white there. I want to ask you about Nathan.
I'm torn.
No, you're torn. You should get one of those jerseys with half and half.
I know I could. It's hard because obviously I grew up watching the Leafs. Mm-hmm. You know, I never had the NHL package or anything like that. The only hockey games I watched were the Leafs and then Hockey Night in Canada on Saturdays. So, obviously I'm a big Leafs fan. I grew up watching. Doug Gilmour was my favorite player, killer. He was my guy. I really enjoyed watching him. And then as I got older, I loved Gary Roberts. Gary Roberts is a, you know, he was a great player. I was a big fan of him. So it's tough to cheer for one or the other. You know, I kind of want it just to go to overtime.
And there you go.
We'll figure it out. I'd love an overtime 3-on-3 with all the talent on both sides. That would be fun to watch.
Okay, so Leaf fan, former Leaf. Do you see parallels between this Avalanche team and the Leafs? Maybe not specifically with, you know, Stanley Cup pedigree and all that, but with the Rantanen situation? Like, you know, this Avalanche team just kind of redistributed talent all across the roster because it took from an area of strength or a top heavy lineup and redistributed talent. Not to say that the Leafs need to or have to do that right now, but I think one of the natural recourses may have to be, if they keep running into the same wall, would be, hey, is it going to work with this top end strategy that we have designed for ourselves? Is there a parallel there between what Colorado's done and what Toronto could do?
I think there is. There can always be something like that. I mean, you have Nathan MacKinnon. Toronto has Austin Matthews. You've got, you know, Cale Makar. The difference is that you have a generational talent on the back end, which the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, they have some talented defensemen, but, you know, they don't have a Cale Makar. Mm-hmm. And having a Cale Makar is an absolute game changer. It's a juggernaut of a player that very few teams can possess. So when you have, you know, a top five player on the back end and then arguably a top two player on the front end, there's a little bit of a difference there with the Leafs and with the Colorado Avalanche, in my opinion.
Nathan MacKinnon, obviously a guy we've talked about quite a lot here in these parts, just, you know, with the whole Canada of it all. But his third favorite right now to win the Hart, it would be back-to-back for him. Obviously, Draisaitl leading the way there. You got Connor Hellebuck in second place in terms of the betting odds. But you know, what's the case for Nate to win it again? I know that sometimes voters do get fatigued, but he has most of the statistical reasons to be winning this award, but it's still a little far away in terms of the odds.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not 100% sure why the odds are where they are. I understand Draisaitl has more goals, so I guess you could tailor that a little bit towards him in that sense. But I, for me, it's Nathan MacKinnon all day long. Just the way that he drives the bus and he pushes the pace with this team, and he pushes the pace for every player that's out on the ice in any given game. And you'll get an opportunity to see it tonight, and you saw it in the Four Nations. His ability, his game-changing speed, and what he can do out there. And again, the amount of games that, you know, were lost due to injury and different players coming in and six different goalies and all that kind of stuff. And for Nate to still be at the top of his game, leading the league, I think that gives him a little bit of an edge. So, there's still 14 games for the Avs left to play, and I think it might come down to the bitter end.
So it's not a guarantee just yet that the Avalanche will face the Stars in round one, but it appears it will be that. Tough loss for Winnipeg last night, but still a pretty comfortable lead. Of course, you have the Rantanen subplot of that, which is unbelievable. But these two teams might be the two best in the entire NHL, and they are going to play each other likely in round one. For you, like, are you expecting hockey to be played at the highest level when these two teams square off? How much the Heiskanen thing matters? How much the Rantanen thing matters? Like, what's the most interesting thing as you continue to assess the likely first round matchup for Colorado?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of storylines, that's for sure, right? And like you said, it's unfortunate that two teams of that caliber have to play each other in the first round. You'd like to see that later in the playoffs, but I get it from another standpoint that you want to bring that excitement and that energy right away, right in the first round. I love the first round playoffs. I mean, there's multiple games on every day. Every game means something so much. It's the best time of year, right? So I guess why not just throw Dallas and the Avs in the fire together and see who comes out. But again, yeah, you've got Heiskanen, and is he going to be ready? And what's he going to be like when he comes into playoffs? That's something that you have to talk about. And then again, the storyline of Mikko Rantanen. Now all of a sudden you're going to get a heavy dose of Mikko for a minimum of four games and potentially seven. So he's going to get acquainted with coming back into Colorado. And I know the fans here love him, but they might be booing him by the end of it.
That's a harder situation for Rantanen than it is the Avs, right?
Yes, I believe so for sure. Mm. Especially when you're coming back to Colorado and you're going to play here. It was his home for 9 or 10 years. That's got to be tough to come back in here into such a hostile environment, knowing that used to be your home.
It'll be fun, the revenge, though. If they get to play each other, I mean, that'll be probably
unbelievable.
Probably one of the best first-round series we've seen in a long time. Well, John, this was really fun. We appreciate you coming on. I hope your game goes to overtime tonight, and then you're satisfied.
Yeah, well, me too, to a certain extent. I mean, maybe the I want and we'll get out of here.
Oh, there you go. It was a blast to have you. Thanks so much. We'll definitely chat with you again and enjoy the game.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. John Mitchell, altitude sports analyst, former NHLer, played for Leafs and Avs, and is the Oakville guy.
I'm not surprised that he dialed it back there. I mean, Avalanche paying the salary, so.
Yeah, it's all right.
Probably pretty important.
Yeah.
See the Avalanche do well?
They'll make it to the playoffs.
Yes,
let them watch
will.
As a fan tonight.
Yes, they will.
Okay, so let's wrap up. We got about 5 minutes left. Are you done your discussions with the how to fix the All-Star game?
Yeah, because there's no fixing the All-Star
game. Maybe we will take suggestions throughout the week. Listeners.
Maybe I'm not done. Like, it's just awful that, everyone who goes flies together. It's like Mitch and Austin sitting beside each other on the plane to, let's draw some lines here.
We also
Canada,
don't know which
USA.
Countries are going to be in the Olympics yet.
Well, we have a pretty good idea.
Maybe.
We don't know who the 12th team is,
but
we know Canada, USA,
we also
Sweden.
Don't know
I guess we don't know.
They haven't
about
confirmed
Russia
that,
yet.
Yeah, and they haven't confirmed if there's going to be. They said they want for the World Cup at least. Remember, all only NHLers. Well, obviously
right, which
not.
Is probably impossible.
Which
moving
is impossible.
Forward.
But the Olympics will allow for anyone.
Sure, yeah.
So imagine you're playing over like the Swedish Elite League and. You get to go to the Olympics on time. You get to be a part of all this, and your buddies are at the NHL All-Star
Yeah,
weekend.
Wasting time at NHL All-Star
when you could be at the Olympics is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Oh, but this is just a small hiccup in their
Anything
planning.
For Olympic hockey.
I know. Yeah. Whatever. I'll watch them play whatever
I'll,
they need
I'll
to
watch
do.
Watch skit after skit from NHL players who should not be in the content Perfect. Making business.
Okay, speaking of content making, I got a great best bet for everybody tonight. Feel very, very positive about this
okay,
one.
Lay it on
I did
us.
A lot of research. So it is almost Looney Dog season. It's right around the corner.
Are the Looney Dog czar.
Blue Jays open the season at home. So your first Looney Dogs is less than 2 weeks away. It will be April 1st. And that is not an April Fool's joke. Okay, so I am going to bet that Toronto Blue Jays fans will eat over 800,000 Looney Dogs this year. Between 800,000 and 850,000 to be correct. That is plus 490. So
total dogs consumed.
Total dogs consumed. And here's my research. So I went back 2 years. In 2023, the fans of Blue Jays and visiting fans ate 693,000 and change Looney Dogs.
Okay.
Last year, 1 year later, they ate 727,000 Looney Dogs. So about 34,000 more that year. Looney Dogs, every single year, started in 2019, goes up and up and up and up. The hype around Looney Dogs gets more
yeah,
and more and
deal.
More.
Bigger deal every
the
year.
The team, I hope, is better than last year's team, so you'll have more fans. Looney Dog teams that they will be playing this year, they got some really great teams. The Cubs, the Yankees, the Phillies, got two series with the Red Sox, Twins, Astros.
Okay.
Padres.
So you're expecting a packed barn.
I'm expecting that these opponents will bring a little bit more visitors into the stadium. So I'm going to guess that the Blue Jays fans will top 800,000 Looney Dogs this year.
So,
which is quite the jump.
It was a 35,000 increase. You're yep. expecting that to be doubled. You're saying 70,000 minimum
in us.
Increase from year to year. Yep.
And I
That's
think
a big jump,
once it's close, I think people will be like, we're almost at 800,000. Like, let's get in
they're
there.
They're going to remember your bet, Ailish.
No, I just think like a nice round number for like PR and stuff. They'll be like, well, we got to get there to 800.
Yeah, that's a lot of dogs.
That's my
70,000 more dogs than last year. How many total? There's 12 nights?
There's 12 Looney Dog
games. So they got to be like 8,000 more per night?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll do it myself.
Better win this bet then.
Okay.
Pay for it.
That's my best bet.
Okay, my best bet, a little bit different. So we're going to start with the Final Four, or at least the NCAA tournament, which kicks off tomorrow. I got some trivia for you. When was the last time?
Oh, I see the answer there.
We'll go along.
Okay.
The last time that the number one seeds exclusively made the Final Four. So all number one seeds, there's four regions, they all go to the Final Four. When did that happen
2008.
Last? 2008. Where was the 2008?
San Antonio.
And where is the tournament this year?
San Antonio.
Like it was in 2008 in San Antonio, all four number
like
one
that.
Seeds, Auburn, Houston, Duke, Florida, will make the Final Four. That's 17
That's
to 1.
That's huge. Parlay
17
piece.
To 1. The only one I'm worried about is Auburn. I've been talking about Auburn all year.
I know.
So go Tigers. I love that.
This
17
next
to 1.
One's interesting you got here.
And then big win for the Montreal Canadiens last night. It may just be decided already that Spencer Carberry's won the Jack Adams for NHL Coach of the Year. But what happens if the Habs get in?
Yeah, it's too late.
What
the hay is in the barn, as you
no,
like to
no,
say.
No, no, what happens if the Montreal Canadiens are the story of the final month of the regular season?
The story of the year has been Washington Capitals. That's what the problem is.
What if they fade a little bit and the Montreal Canadiens
Ovi's
are the gonna
story score his record
of
and
the
we'll
final...
never stop talking about the
anyway,
Washington Capitals.
Anyway, if the Habs are the story of the final month of the season, he won't finish 75-1.
That's true.
So even with that, I expect that price to drop. Martin St. Louis, former Hart Trophy winner, to then win a Jack Adams, who's the last guy who did that. I have no idea. I don't know if anyone's done that.
More likely, Marty St. Louis wins a Jack Adams or we eat 800,000 Looney Dogs.
Yeah, like me and you?
No.
Well, the odds would suggest it's the Looney Dogs, but I think it could be Martin St. Louis cashing 75-1.
All right.
As someone who has a lot of Carberry.
Yeah, I know.
A little hedge.
I know you've got a lot of Carberry and a lot of Auburn.
Yeah.
I'm starting to sweat. Okay.
I can lose it all with
tonight.
Hopper.
I got to finish my bracket.
Okay. And how are you doing? So, what's your strategy?
Well, maybe I'll share that tomorrow.
Okay.
We have intrigue. About 4 seconds left, so we'll say goodnight.
It would have taken a half second to say it.
No, it's too much work.
Okay.
Everyone have a lovely night. We'll see you tomorrow.